3, 2, 1. So we're here back at the second half of Civically Speaking, and Christina Chernesky and myself are here, and we've been weighing in on all kinds of issues, you know, but we focus has been on two. One primarily has been on COVID-19 and talking about the healthcare system in Canada. And then we had to go to the midterms because
yes,
that's part of our entertainment as Canadians, and being that they are our big neighbor to the south of us and a little bit to the north of us and a little bit to the sides of us too, depending on what island you're talking about. You know, the United States midterm elections are still underway. Here's the crazy thing about democracy in the States. That election happened like a week ago, and we still don't know the outcome of it. And we won't know the final outcome until a runoff happens in Georgia between, you know, a former football dude and a Reverend Warnock, who had gotten in by the slimmest of margins the last time. So get away, Christina, like, where do we go from here?
I honestly, you know, if I was a drinking woman, I would just revert to that. But here's the thing. It goes to show, first of all, if you're just, you know, just an impartial observer and you stand on the sidelines and you watch, and, you know, what a cluster American politics are. Like, that's...
You could put an F word in there too. Yeah,
I'd almost prefer to in this case. But what a cluster they are, and complicated, and that it can be drawn out this long. Do you remember ages ago, between George Bush and... what was his name, that the counting of the votes lasted like months, Al Gore. It went on forever. And I thought,
it was like so anticlimactic when it finally came out, but it was literally hundreds of votes. That's it.
It was anticlimactic. And it was also civil. And once again, I'm going to bring this up. I don't remember any convoys or horns honking or anything like that. But I do remember that it resolved itself, or it resolved. But in this particular case, I mean, we're still not hearing the end of Trump losing. 2 years ago, and now we're in these midterms, and there's the threat of recounts and this and that, because you know, some people aren't getting their ways. And I just, before we went into the break, I was mentioning about Lauren Boebert, who is in Colorado's 3rd congressional district. And she is a Trump endorsed representative, and she's barely ahead of her rival. And this is as of Monday afternoon, evening. And I don't know when this is going to be resolved. All I know about this woman is that she's highly outspoken, highly controversial, and either you love her or you hate her. There doesn't really seem to be a lot of middle ground. But these are some of the shocking things that have come out of these midterms in the United States, which, again, as an observer, makes it kind of interesting, Lenore. But you know, I don't know if they resolve anything. I don't know what the future holds in American politics. I do kind of like the blackish, whitish stuff of Canadian politics, quite frankly.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Although I don't know if it's black and whitish here so much as a nice mushy kind of beige gray color, you know.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of mushing up the colors initially too. But, you know, or maybe it's just because we can understand it better and because it's ours. But, you know, there's many Americans, and trust me, I've got quite a few American friends who don't understand it. They go and vote. And when it's time to go and vote, they vote. And then they just sort of wait. And that's it. So they don't fully properly understand it either, which is nothing against them. But what a complicated system, you know, just in order to observe democracy, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. It is a complicated system. I know I've talked with Mom over the last while, because of course we're spending way more time together with each other as she's recovering, you know, and she just said, like, what an interesting system. And I said, yeah. And I said, and at the end of the day, it's not the people that vote in, it's the electoral colleges that end up voting in, you know, on a president and that, and it just gets really confusing really quickly. Having said that, there is a couple more little down the wormholes I want to go on the midterm elections for whatever reason. But just to prime people up about what may end up happening in a couple of years from now. So there's so many questions out there. So one, will Joe Biden run again? That's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if not him, who? You know, Kamala Harrison is vice president, but whom else? Okay, so Kamala. And then you think on the other side, there's Trump, but, you know, the one Republican area that did well was in Florida, right in Trump's home area, which was Ron DeSantis, which of course Trump renamed Ron DeSantimonious. And, you know, as a potential candidate to, you know, to run against him for the Republican nomination, you've got Mike Pence, who, you know, is the former vice president, as we said in the first half of the show, coming out really hard against Trump and said that what he did, you know, with the whole making of an insurrection on January 6th, that fell squarely on him and that he was a threat to his family and all families. And so he may be taking a run at it, and there might be a couple of more, including Dick Cheney's daughter, who was de-elected, right, but is also part of that whole committee that's looking into the January 6th and what's going to happen there. And then, of course, you have Trump that most likely, no matter what, will run again, if for anything else, to just continue his story, whether it's as a story as a loser, but that he was really the winner or otherwise. So it's interesting to watch because the effects of that going into the world scene, and maybe this is the pivot, is that with the Republicans now that will be taking over, you know, the House and what's going on in Ukraine, it's going to be interesting because the Republicans have a different take on the investment of funds into the war that's happening between Russia and Ukraine. So let's go to the international scene for a bit. What's going on over there in Ukraine these days?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I think there is better news, and it deals with the capital of Kherson, depending on how you want to pronounce it. But this was where there was a lot of war recently in Ukraine, and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Monday said that because they've retaken, Ukraine has retaken that city, that's kind of like an eastern Ukraine, if you will. And he said that after the Russian troops withdrew from that area, particularly the city of Kherson, he is quoted as saying, "This is the beginning of the end of the war." So, and he also at the same time, and it's very, very important to stress this, he also acknowledged that Ukrainian troops and Ukrainians throughout that nation have paid a very, very heavy price over this last year-ish with the dispute there. Well, this is a lifelong dispute as far as I'm concerned. However, that's what's happening in Ukraine right now. I mean, it always felt like there was hope for Ukraine throughout this, but it needed and now getting back, alluding to what you've been talking about, it needed the help and support from other countries. It needed military help, it needed financial help, it needed all sorts of support, medical help, with virtually everything. And United States was very generous in terms of what was donated to Ukraine, Canada as well, and other countries too. But now when we talk primarily about United States and a change of government potentially or not in 2 years, that's a difficult one to even sort of prophesize or try to imagine what life could be like, because this war has only been going on for 9 months, not only, but it's been going on for 9 months in Ukraine. And that government's been around for 2 years. So the Biden government, if you will. So what could happen in 2 years? Dare I even say that things could be better? I don't want to say it's anybody's guess. I think something like this could be highly directed and steered, if you will, if there is continued support for Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I know we've got Dr. Bogdan Korodan on our show next week, and he's going to take us through kind of what he's been involved with and kind of his perspective on this. So I'm really looking forward to that because he's been a panel member on this show before and very insightful. And so for anybody that's tuning in right now to CFCR, specifically speaking with Christina Chernesky and Lenore Swiston here at CFCR 90.5 FM, tune in next week too, because we've got an hour long on that.
It is. Now, I'm very, very much looking forward to Dr. Cordon coming onto the program because he is just, he carries valuable information and will share it with us. And it's important to still stress that there's still war being waged in Ukraine outside the city of Kherson. It's just in this particular case, it feels victorious because of the amount of time that Russia has occupied that area. So parts in the east, parts in the south of Ukraine, there's still war waging and war being waged. And and even in Kyiv, where I mention every week that I've got friends who live there and I hear from them and I get updates from them. And I've got Canadian friends who have moved to Kyiv to help out. And I hear from them about how disconcerting it is to hear the air raid sirens, to hear the shelling, to hear airplanes fly above. They'll never get used to that. One of my friends says she'll never, ever get used to that. But yet she chooses to stay in Kyiv because that's home. So this is a very, very dramatic turn of events in terms of recapturing Kherson. But to sort of try to see what it's going to be like even next month, you know, even going into December, it's hard. It's hard to even try to picture what's going to happen next with Ukraine.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and so the world is linked, right? And then we come to closer to home. So what's going on in our home area of Saskatoon lately? What's some of the stories that are popping up in your news feed lately, Christina?
Well, there's one, you know, speaking of Ukraine, when the war first started breaking out and people realized that this was going to be long and very painful, many Ukrainians left their country and fled to other parts of the world. You know, first, most were funneled through Poland and then sent to, because Poland opened up its borders to Ukrainians who were leaving. And then they were sent to different countries, sent to Canada just about first. I mean, we have a huge, long, long reputation of accepting refugees, and in this particular case, Ukrainians. And of course, Saskatoon has received a couple of thousand of residents. So that gets me to a Saskatoon story here, where when these refugees came to Saskatoon, they were sort of directed to places to live. And I've made some new friends, some people from Ukraine who have come to live in Saskatoon. And, you know, generally the places where they have to live are okay, if you will. But there is one woman who has been trying to get Saskatchewan housing to, and she's a refugee, by the way.
Okay. I wondered that when I saw one of the news story on TV. Said to my mom, I said, I'm pretty confident that we share a cultural background here.
Yeah, and this is the story that I picked up on CTV News, CTV Saskatoon, where a woman, Dominika Kosovska, is living in an apartment that's overrun with rodents. And she's paying rent for that. And then she stopped paying rent because of that situation. And she's been working with Sask Housing trying to deal with it. She apparently, I have to say this because I haven't yet had a chance to speak to her directly, but she's apparently been trying to work with the landlord to try to get this situation resolved. But there is no resolve. And so she didn't pay rent. And now she could be evicted. So let's look at this. First, let's look at the big picture. She's living in a place with rodents. And as far as I'm concerned, that shouldn't be allowed. I mean, it's dangerous. It's dirty. It's a risk on so many different levels. But if she's on the brink of getting evicted, She'll be evicted in December. And there's no nice weather happening, you know, in Saskatoon for quite a few months. Thank you very much. And so it's a very, very tricky situation as far as I'm concerned. First of all, I understand this, everybody. My mother used to be the rentalsman in the province of Saskatchewan. I get it. You can't just stop paying rent. But at the same time, you can stop. You can make a point by not paying rent and getting this sort of publicity. So it is extraordinarily difficult to hear a story like this for anybody, not just a new immigrant to Saskatoon or a new resident in Saskatoon, for anybody who has to live in a part of Saskatoon, our own city, and this one is in Eastview, and you're hearing that there are rodents and other things sort of scrambling around in the walls. That's awful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is awful. Yeah, when I saw that story, I was just like, lots of tough stuff on housing, right? I mean, we've been following the story around the emergency shelter, and that's going to be reopening.
Yeah.
Fairhaven community, that's taking place this week, the transition. There's a couple of open houses for anyone that's interested to be able to go and see the place and get a better understanding of the services and amenity that's being utilized there. You know, the connection between, you know, the global, right? The global and the local through supports for Ukrainian refugees. And then we drill down even closer to home and we go into our city council, and, you know, the headlines there are around like the big deal of arena this week and administration saying, here's our choice. We want $25 million so that we can buy the Midtown parking lot, because we want to eventually put an arena there. You know, we've had Phil Tank, and I want to do a shout out to Phil Tank, who joined us last week. Thanks so much, Phil, for your insights. And so,
yeah, you bet. You bet. Yeah.
So here we are, you know, at a place where, you know, we're talking around housing and sheltering and all this sort of stuff. And then we also were talking about arenas, you know, and City Hall, you know, making a decision on Wednesday. And his council is supposed to be making a decision on Wednesday. And that's just a recommendation to themselves, to their formal council meeting, to say, this is the site that we're picking, which is the Midtown Plaza site. So your thoughts on this, Christina?
It's a bit of a whirling dervish in my head right now, because there is a lot going on. And again, with all due respect to city councilors, I do have a lot of respect for them. And it's pointed out frequently that, you know, that my dad was on city council for 25 years. And, you know, I come by a lot of this either critical stuff or praise, quite honestly, for local politicians. But holy man, do we have a lot of stuff that's happening in the city of Saskatoon? And sometimes it does make me question about going ahead with the arena. Is that really the best plan for Saskatoonians? Or should we be focusing on things like housing? Should we be focusing on poverty? Should we be focusing on downtown, which already does, by the way, exist? And you know, it's just not, you know, a piece of land that's being purchased, but needs support. You know, while it is exciting to think that there could be a new arena being constructed, because it is exciting, you know, when you think about this whole brand new building, at what cost? At what cost in the very end? And will other issues and other problems that we've been having in the city of Saskatoon be attended to? And you're a former city councilor, Lenore. I mean, will these other issues be attended to, or will we be sort of focused with the bright red, orange, yellow lights of a new arena?
It's interesting for me, because I know planning colleagues of mine are, yay, this is great.
Yeah, I mean, I've got that side too. I've got that side too. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong.
And I've got that side as well. But there's a caveat there. It's where, you know, Phil Tank and myself probably line up pretty close in here. Is like, it's just, and people know this about me, I'm big into process. You know, I'm really big into Like if you got a good process and you're open about it and you get things on the table and have that deliberative discussion and debate, then people can understand it for what it is. And you can live with the decision, even if you don't agree with it. I just don't feel like we have all the information to make a good decision. Like I like to have, you know, the planner side of me who actually has the formal initials for this. I kind of need to have those rocks flipped over, you know, and then the counselor hat of me is like, I got to have the best information sitting in front of me to help me make an informed decision on behalf of those that are that have elected me and the city as a whole who I serve, which are different, you know, because of ward counselors being elected by their wards. And then you're serving those wards and the overall city, you know, as well. So that's always a bit of an interesting thing, whereas the mayor is elected by everyone. So little side venture there. But so I look at this and go, let's do the cost benefit analysis of this in light of what happens to the old building, what happens to the shifts, where is the price tag and our investment on TCU Place, for those that don't know by that, you know, Centennial Auditorium. Yeah. How does this figure into the empty land still downtown that we still don't have an answer to, the north lands, that this was the second option, you know, mm-hmm. that's out there for it. So all around the big police palace, as we call it, on 25th Street, you know, how does this weigh into the library, and that we're going to have a new school that's taken the place of three on 22nd Street, and then getting really close to my home with the bus barn, and what's the influence there? And then, oh yeah, we're changing all the streets and alterations there around a bus rapid transit system that isn't fully a bus rapid transit system, because it's not like as if it's going to be unobstructed. It's going to have obstructions, and there's going to be places where it slows down. So I go, there's a heck of a lot of questions
exactly
that need to be synthesized into some really good sound bites, hint to the city, get some good understanding and clarity. Even if you don't have all the answers, say it. Just say that. Say we're still don't have it. And maybe we're doing this because we need to at least get the ship sailing. But does that mean there's not going to be some points where we can pull out of this if we need to? Because here's another one that I'm seeing today in the news. And here's my little segue. City budget. Like, we're still $8 million out. Okay. They still don't know where it's coming from. The local chamber's writing letters. Jason Abig is like, don't start putting more on taxes. They're like, holy crap, we're in inflationary times where I'm looking at my utility bill now with a whole bunch of waste added to it.
All
real waste going to utility. Then on top of that, you know, well, that's coming. But, you know, on top of it, my power bill's getting more, my water bill's more, all of this, my grocery bill's through the roof. Like, holy crap. So, yes. Decisions today don't play out for a decade and then some. So everybody breathe. So maybe we need to be talking about that. Like, let's just breathe here about what we're talking about. But in the real world, we've got a budgetary issue here that something's going to be impacted beyond what we've become comfortable with. So anyway, here's my rant.
I know, I'm waving my hat.
Go for it.
Just like Lenore was when she was talking, like, whoa, because this is so big. But the question that I have, again, like when you go back to it, back to the whole arena thing and the city council asking, you know, for that money to set aside for the Midtown Plaza parking lot, just in case this thing goes ahead. I mean, that's when I really got the biggest, reddest flag about the whole notion of building a
I'm going to give a shout out to my colleague. I'll give his first name only just in case he's shy, but a colleague who's also a planner, his first name is Eric. We're talking about this, like, there are ways of doing financing that are not just around tax incremental financing, but community benefit agreements, you know, where you put in place all sorts of different things that can go towards collecting revenues and taking shares from different places so that you can see how that agreement could be made into perpetuity on this. And I mean, I hope the city is exploring that and brings that to light, because part of the challenge is there could be all kinds of good things that are going on and the case could be made. But if the public doesn't see it, all they go is like, oh my God,
right,
now we're paying
right.
$25 million for
I know.
Like, why just are we case. Buying that parking lot?
I know. Let's just buy that parking lot just in case. I mean, that was the thing. It made no sense. I mean, can you imagine? Like, you know, do you remember the days that you'd ask your dad for some money? You know, hey, can I have $20? But you just don't ask it just in case I might need it. You know, you have to have a better plan than just in case.
It's got to be defensible.
Yeah. And I realize, I realize both of us have pretty tough dads when it came to asking for money and stuff. But the reality is that it should be tough.
Depended I mean, if they had a drink beforehand or not.
Okay.
That's a prairie chuckle. That's a prairie chuckle. Get them when they're feeling good. You know, so, but you know,
well, it's true. Yeah.
To your point, right, is that there's a lot at stake here. So take the time. Don't just do a little quick survey and think that that's the end and that you've got your answer and everybody's okay with this location. Because I think that there's a little bit of dislocation in this decision, all puns in, to kind of back the bus up and the transit bus rapid back and pull it back to the bigger picture and reconstitute what you're actually getting at here. Like, what's at stake here? What are we trying to do? And if it's transformational and it's about evolving something, that's okay. But let's put all the pieces out there with some really good clarity and understanding for the public to know and take the time to do it, because this is the planning stage. Take the time. But I get that there's other things at stake. So
right. And this, you're right. This is the planning stage. And honestly, I do respect it. And I respect it even more since I started my own company and started to, you know, understand books even better. But I don't want to do it at the sake of making downtown Saskatoon, you know, forgetting about that or forgetting about homeless issues or forgetting about so many other things that really honestly need attention. You just cannot sort of shrug it off and go, maybe next council will do. Like, it to me, those are imperative things to ensure that the city of Saskatoon continues to move forward.
Awesome. Well, guess what? We're at the end of our time. So take it away. You get the last 30 seconds.
Thank you, Lenore. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I do appreciate it. There's a lot coming up this week. And as Lenore mentioned, Dr. Bohdan Cordan is coming on next week to talk about things all Ukraine, maybe even a little bit more. And we're just really just grateful that so many people listen to us and stop by CFCR to be part of Civically Speaking.
Awesome. Bye, everybody. Have yourself a great rest of the week. That was good. That was really good. Fun.
Time we're goes good together. Yeah, we're good together, Lenore. Like, we really are. I love having guests, but I love even more.